What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And we've got callers on the line. So let's start with Nancy in Amarillo. Aloha, Nancy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to say that I've been listening to RBN for like, 10 or 12 years. And I just sent them a $100 donation.
Well, thank you.
And I wish everybody else would do something like that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that solicitation. And thank you for the kind words. And I hope you go on listening for another 12 years.
Me too. I'm getting kind of old.
Yeah, well, that's same here.
Okay. Anyway, thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much. Here, we're going to let you go and switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, if they don't find a plane, that means it's super stealthy. If they do find the plane, it isn't stealthy.
Well, it's not supposed to be stealthy underwater. It's supposed to be stealthy when it's up in the sky.
Yeah, I bet you a couple of those pieces are going to be on California shore sooner or later, along with some Fukushima radiation, huh?
Well, you know, I'll certainly keep an eye on our beaches to see if anything interesting washes on up here. I'm sure the floating debris has already been collected up. What they're looking for is the airframe. And I wonder if they're going to really try and identify what's wrong with the aircraft, or they're going to assign blame. Because one of the articles that I looked at regarding this incident made a point of saying that this particular aircraft was the first one that was assembled at the Mitsubishi plant. Apparently, these aircraft are shipped across in pieces, and then they're put together there in Japan for their use, which is a very common thing to do. In fact, here on Oahu, up in the middle of the island, there's actually an underground hangar. Because the warplanes were sent out here disassembled. And then in that underground hangar, they were assembled and then either flown out to the carriers or to the various airfields. So that's a common thing to do. But if they're already mentioning this was the first one assembled by Mitsubishi, then it looks like somebody wants to set up Mitsubishi to take the fall for this.
But if they're all assembled in pieces in every state, make it a piece, the plane's still not going to be fit together properly. I wonder when they got all the pieces to start putting together, like, what the heck?
Well, you know, they're basically assembled here in the United States into subunits, and it's not that unrealistic, because if you look at the FA-18, that was actually built in two different sections, literally in opposite sides of the country, and they bring them together, and they just went together like a glove. It can be done with good engineering and good quality control, good process control. The issue here, again, appears to be that this airplane had problems right from the get-go, and the officers who were in charge of it just tried to cover it up rather than admit that they had basically failed. And someday they'll make a movie about it, just like they did with the Pentagon Wars. And if you haven't seen that movie, you need to hunt that down.
And the F-16 wire shaping movie by General Dynamics. They tried to cover that up, too. Yeah. And, Mike, I wanted to switch gears if I still got time about, well, like, you know, Erdogan says the S-400's a done deal. It's a done deal. But I don't know if anybody who listens to the show listened to the whole thing, but they says that there's probably going to be a joint military venture into manufacturing something. So that, can that mean like a plane? Because I know parts of the F-35, aren't they made in Turkey, some of the parts?
I really don't know. I don't see the advantage of having parts of the F-35 made in Turkey. Generally, the way these programs are done is they try and parcel it out to as many of the U.S. states as they can in order to win congressional approval for whatever the program is.
Yeah, because from what I listened to, they said something is assembled or put together in Turkey. Since it's part of NATO, they allowed it Turkey to put some kind of parts together up. But I'm thinking if they cancel the F-35, because what Turkey ordered, like 20-something, they got two sitting in Arizona or something. Now, if the deal don't go through, won't they just say, you know what, we don't want your F-35, we'll just take the Su-35 from Russia. Maybe it'll be a joint venture where they manufacture part of that plane or parts of a certain plane, you know, in Turkey, and just cancel the whole deal with the F-35. Hopefully they'll get their $1.5 billion back, or $1 trillion back, or whatever it costs. But that's what from what I listened to, that's what they said.
Okay, well, I think what may have been happening is that some of the U.S.-made components for the F-35s had been delivered to Turkey ahead of, you know, completing the deal, the same thing that they were doing with Japan. By the way, I just got an update on the story, and apparently the pilot of the Japanese F-35 did send a single signal before his plane vanished from the radar, and it simply said, abort the mission. So something went wrong. They still haven't found the pilot. They haven't found the majority of the wreckage. They're just finding bits and pieces floating on the ocean.
Yeah, that's a shame to send out some kind of crappy plane like that. That plane's got serious engine problems. But, you know, with the multi-role, with the VTOL they wanted and all this other stuff. I mean, that's just... Japan should have never took that plane in, but, you know, due to business and this or that, and, you know, linked to the
okay, well,
US.
This version of the F-35 is not the VTOL version. This is the F-35A.
So there's more than one. I thought there was one. I just thought there was one version where it had VTOL capability. And
no,
it was,
No. There's a couple of different variants on the platform. Why carry all that extra weight, spend all that extra money, unless you intend to use it on a carrier? If you're just going to use it from an airfield, you don't need that. You could use, you know, the extra space for more ammunition and so forth. The F-35 is notorious for having very little room for ammunition for their cannon.
That doesn't have a suffocation problem like the F-22 does it?
Like, not that it's been reported so far.
That's just a shame, though. Like, I mean, that plane is not a good plane. All right, Mike, have a good show.
All right, thanks an awful lot, and we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates just now who are joining the network. There is no question. It's a boondoggle, and people have been saying it's a boondoggle for a very, very long time, but because there is so much money tied up in it that is flowing out to all these defense contractors and all the states, Congress won't do anything about it. They just sit there and say, yeah, it's expensive, but oh well, you know, we've put this much money into it. We can't quit now. And it is. It's looking like this is going to be just a worse U.S. military aviation project than the Goblin. And you have to be my age to remember that one. But again, going back last year, there were two different government reports saying that the senior officers in charge of development of the F-35 knew of serious design deficiencies in the airframe. And instead of asking for it to be repaired, it's just hushed it up because they didn't want to admit that there were problems and ask for more cost overruns. And then you had that other report that identified 111 Category 1 problems with the aircraft. Those things should not be allowed into the air. And I hope those pilots are collecting full combat pay because they're in a lot of danger just climbing into that thing. I mean, I'm an aviation enthusiast. You know, I love flying. I took flying lessons when I was a kid. I've been up in some very fast aircraft. You would not get me into an F-35 for all the tea in China. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones here now. Patty in New York, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine.
Okay, I want to comment on something you said about 2 days ago. Okay, so Iran is now, they were having terrible flooding in parts of their country.
Yes.
And you said that other countries cannot send aid to them because of the U.S. sanctions.
That's now, right. The United States will not waive the sanctions for humanitarian aid.
Okay, but what I don't understand is just because the U.S. places sanctions on a country, why does every other country have to obey those sanctions?
Because they're afraid the United States will then sanction them.
Yeah, but then there's no end to this. I mean, are you telling me that of all the men in this world, no one is capable of being a real man and standing up to the bully.
It's a little more complex than that because the U.S. is using sanctions so much that it's causing the rest of the world to start to break away from the U.S. dollar and the SWIFT system. And they're setting up their own banking interconnect systems, and they're going back to their own native currencies. And in the long run, this overuse of sanctions is a very self-destructive policy for the United States. But right now, for those poor people in Iran who got hit with those really horrific floods, it is a bit of a problem. And it shows to the rest of the world just how hard-hearted the United States government has become. Because
yes,
it's one thing to have sanctions when you think there might be nuclear weapons or biological weapons. But when you're talking about saying, no, you can't send in humanitarian aid because we don't like them, and on behalf of Israel, we're going to invade them soon anyway, you know, that basically just that shows a face of America to the rest of the world that is not very flattering.
Yeah, but the sanctions go beyond just not allowing humanitarian aid. The sanctions are strangling the economy of one country after another.
Yes.
Okay, but the thing is, why can't Russia send aid? They're already sanctioned up the kazoo.
Oh, you see, I'm sure that Russia probably already is. The countries that we're talking about that are saying they're blocked from sending aid are the ones that are still in the Western sphere of influence. Yeah.
So you mean China and Russia can send aid?
I'm sure they're already sending some aid. I'm sure they're already sending in some help to try. I mean, I think it's something like 1,900 villages in Iran got wiped out in these floods.
Okay, so as long as there are countries that are able to trade and help Iran. So it's not every country that's obeying these sanctions. Does that mean...
No, it isn't. It isn't. As a matter of fact, Iran's oil exports are actually up.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Thank you very much, Mike.
All right, you're welcome. And we're going to switch over to, I hope I pronounced this correctly, Ayato Mustafa in California. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike, man? This is Ayato Mustafa. I haven't been online with y'all for a while now, but I got some exclusive news for you. You're going to break this worldwide.
Okay.
I'm a single father of three teenage girls, right? And I sent my teenage girl to visit my oldest teenage daughter, who was 17 at the time. I sent her in 2017 to visit her mother. And, you know, her mother ended up kicking her out, putting her homeless on the street. I found out that my daughter was homeless up in the ghetto in Philadelphia, and was 6 months pregnant, squatting in a house on an air mattress with nothing but a plug-up electric heater. She emailed me with tears in her face, photos and everything. Me and her other two daughters, we go 2 days ago, we go up to Philly, we find her in the middle of a West Philly ghetto in basically an almost abandoned house with nothing on but underwear, and 6 months pregnant, broke and naked and everything. Looked like she was on crack and everything. So we bring my daughter home where she belongs. We go and buy her new clothes, socks, and everything, clean her up, right? So I take my daughters out to the mall, hang out with them. We go out to Golden Corral yesterday and everything. And how about 9 p.m. yesterday night, the FBI swarmed my house with a tactical task force, swarmed my house about me bringing my daughter home from finding her homeless in the streets. Now, mind you, I got all of her ID here, birth certificate, Social Security, and everything. The FBI, a federal SWAT tactical task force, swarmed my house, chased my daughters around the house, and put assault rifles in my teenage daughter's faces last night. This is in my Midwest property.
Well, who filed the complaint? Who said that you did something wrong? I mean, she's your daughter. It's not like you're taking...
Yeah, here's the thing, right? My daughter has psychological issues. When I got her here, I went down to the family court in this county, in Stark County, Ohio. I went to the family court and explained to them what her situation is. She's been a problematic child all her life. They said she needs to see somebody because it sounds like she's delusional. She has a very violent history. Here's the thing. I made the mistake of having kids by a little, what they would call a ghetto hood rat welfare queen in the ghetto in Philly. This is the same woman who put my child out on the street and put her out homeless almost 2 years ago. She's been out there on and off homeless all this time. When they find out I bring my daughter home, clean her up and everything, the FBI wouldn't tell me who called, but If you would have seen the way that these people stormed my house like the 82nd Airborne, dogs, armored vehicles or whatever it was, tactical vests, helmets, everything, the whole nine, ran up in here with me and my three teenage daughters.
Well, that's because they're not allowed to, like, you know, go on over and storm the offices of the Clinton Foundation. They got to do something to look like they're, you know,
exactly,
you know, worth their paychecks there. They're not allowed to go after the drug lords. They're not allowed to go after the politicians. So,
exactly.
Yeah, we'll go harass, you know, the parents who are trying to save their kids and everything because, you know, we're
exactly.
the FBI.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, and they came down, the way they came down, you would have thought I was Osama bin Laden or something like that. My daughter, they called, my daughter told them she was fine and everything. We was out eating. You know, I showed them pictures of them laughing, videos and everything. But apparently the people who put my daughter out on the streets in the ghetto in West Philadelphia had a problem with the fact that her father was coming to save her, get her out of the ghetto, bring her home where she had a roof over her head, clothes on her back, food and everything. And because I did that, the FBI is now, my daughter has been gone since she was underage, almost 2 years. She left here at 17, was supposed to come back a month later, visit her mom. While she's been out there in the street, she's had two birthdays. She's 19 now. So the FBI
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Where is that daughter right now?
I don't know. The FBI came and took her from me. They won't tell me where she's at or nothing. I've been calling them and everything. They won't tell me where she's at or anything. They got her. I thought they was arresting her for something. She's in trouble with the law.
Okay, you need to get yourself a lawyer who's good at family law. I don't know what your financial situation is, and I know lawyers are expensive. You need to file a writ of habeas corpus, which is an order that compels you. It basically means provide the body. Show me where this person is right now.
I know what the habeas is, but they're going to try. I guess they don't even count no more since the NDAA, right? It's just amazing, though, that they did that like that. I couldn't believe that.
This doesn't qualify under NDAA. The question is she in some kind of family services organization? Has she been returned to the mother? Has she been returned to the people who put her out on the street? Which would, of course, make the FBI accessories to, you know, kidnapping and pimping.
Yeah, the mother is the one who put her out on the street. As soon as I got home with my child, the very first thing I did was get on the phone and call my ex-wife, call her mother. I said, hey, do you know what's going on? Do you know where I found my daughter at? She had no idea where she was at. She said she didn't live with me a month. I said, do you know she's pregnant? She didn't even know she was pregnant. This is America.
This is just absolutely insane. All right, you need a lawyer, okay? I'm just a talk show radio host. I'm not a lawyer.
I've never
even played one in a movie.
I know. I called you because I wanted to break it with you because the last time I talked to you on the phone, I'm the same guy who in 2006 was put in prison for almost a decade for surviving a violent home invasion. Me and my wife and kids, these same girls who were smaller at the time, who fought off a violent home invader, we were charged with robbing our own house and destroying our own property. And I was put in jail for kidnapping a burglar out of my house for almost 10 years. So I'm the same guy.
This is insane. You need a lawyer. Okay.
Yeah, I'm also
That's
right
the best advice I can get you. You need a lawyer and you need a writ of habeas corpus.
Okay, Mike, I just wanted to let y'all know, you know, but let all your listeners look out for my book. I'm a writer, and I'm writing a book about all the things they've been doing to me for the last 20 years, chronological order of injustices bestowed against just me. The book is called A Testament to Justified Rage. Look out for it, Mike. I'll make sure you get a copy first.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, and thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. All right. Now, the phone lines are open. Getting on back to the news, Richard Lugar, the Richard Lugar Center in Tbilisi, is suspected of being a biological weapons laboratory. Now, there are treaties saying you're not supposed to be messing around with this stuff. And the U.S. signed this treaty. They have not complied with all of its provisions, in particular, destruction of existing stockpiles. So we need to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And as a matter of fact, one of our listeners just emailed me this post from reliefweb.int confirming that, yes, Russia and a lot of other countries are, in fact, getting humanitarian relief aid to the Iranian flood survivors. And apparently it is a huge mess, much worse than we're seeing in our Midwest, although that may get worse because of the new storm that's coming on in. So apparently Russia has already sent 4,000 tents, blankets, and folding beds to its regional station in the Armenian capital, Yerevan. The Russian government created the center in 2015 in the city in a bid to serve as a regional basis for humanitarian aid for Armenia and surrounding countries. So apparently that is the staging point. So the aid is on the way. It's going to get on in there. All right. We've got a bunch of callers on the line. I'm going to put this biological weapon story on hold until we clear the phone lines again. Donald from Russia. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Well, a number of things. First of all, what got my attention that I'm calling was your difficulty last Thursday, discouragement, and
yes.
I share that discouragement, so it's not sympathy, it's empathy. You're not alone.
Yeah, so, I got a lot of emails saying exactly the same thing. And, you know, it's the difference. You know, the corporate media people, they're there because they get paid and a lot of money. And they don't care about what they're reporting on. They're disconnected emotionally. They see the pictures, they read the words, and then it's out of their mind and they go home and they're happy. Those of us who are out here trying to make things better, unfortunately, we can and we shouldn't, but we can sometimes allow ourselves to get emotionally caught up in what it is we're seeing happening before our eyes. And it does get overwhelming after a while, and especially after 25 years of working to try and make things better and seeing them get worse. Yeah, it gets a little bit discouraging.
But how awful when they're talking about collusion. Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you just fine. Please continue.
Well, I've lived in Russia spring and fall for the last 20 years.
Okay.
But talking about collusion, and look what's going on with Israel and the involvement, their involvement in our elections, in our government, and Trump involved in their elections and government. So much collusion, and it's a...
Yeah, but, you know, the attitude is, you know, Israeli collusion is good and Russian collusion is bad.
But on another important thing that you brought up with Iran, and I don't know if you got the background, like the Shiites, so many Shiite mosques have been blown up in Pakistan. It's a Shiite against Sunni is a terrible conflict. And of course, the problem in Russia is has a very high Sunni population. And you've heard about all the terrorists blowing up buses and trains near us here. And it's a lot better now. Putin is doing a good job, but the cooperation with Iran is because they can use Russian security and Iranian security can work together with some of the jihadi threats from Shiite Islam. That's just a working, relationship there. But what I really wanted to talk from a personal perspective, what I learned, I'm 79, I'll be 80 in September.
Okay, happy birthday.
Thank you. I took leave of absence. I was working on nuclear ceramics at Carborundum Research back in the 60s.
Okay.
And I took a leave of absence to go to the University of Buffalo to finish a degree in mathematical physics. And I worked together with a bunch of engineering students. They had to take the hard math like I did. They didn't take the easy courses like the pre-med students, you know, but in the social sciences, they took
liberal
much
arts.
Easier course. But here was a bunch of these engineering students who were getting money working on a project with the medical university. Those were the first large computers. They had the CDC 6400, and they were working on a research project to make a really high quality, low cost annual physical exam, and it was all computerizing it all, where they would you would go in and give a sample of your pee or poop and all that. And then you'd come back after the laboratory analysis.
Okay, Donald. Donald, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm going to have to put you on hold. Do not hang up. We have to take a break for commercials, but I want to come back and hear the rest of your story. So stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Donald from Russia, and Donald was talking about early development of computerized medical testing systems. And of course, the systems they have today are rather amazing, but they don't really do the diagnosis because the doctors don't want to lose their nice cushy jobs to the machine. And in any event, I'd be very concerned considering the software errors that we have seen in some of those systems. Right now, medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States. And I wonder how many of those are because of faulty software. Anyway, Donald, so coming back up to the present day, what is it that you wanted to share with us?
Well, engineering students that had an assistantship on this project were very, we would work together at the library. This one day, they were so discouraged, they had lost their job. And it was because the only place they needed a doctor was to read the printout. The printout would say what the probability of any disease, what to take, what it conflicted with, all that. But the AMA shut it down, and they lost their job. And that's when I learned why, when in the late 40s, the doctor would come to the house where I grew up in New York, in a country farm town. And here I learned that the AMA had got political control over the class size of our university. And
yeah.
I learned, like, Trump is cooperating with them now, with the AMA. You can, taxpayers have to pay for if a veteran wants to go to a private doctor, they have to let them go now. The AMA has done a terrible job on the veterans' hospitals. Nobody seems to know that. But they only get something like $200,000, $180,000 a year salary. They don't want any American doctor doing that. I had a Muslim woman from Pakistan as my doctor. And, of course, after that psychiatrist followed the Quran and killed all the people, I put in a complaint because the Quran told her to cut my head off if I don't submit. They gave me another doctor. At any rate.
Well, you know, I understand how that works. The last time I had a regular, you know, GP, you know, my doctor, she was from Russia as well. So it is a bit of a mess. The AMA is less about medical care and more about enforcing the orthodoxy of the medical industrial complex, which has really gone downhill ever since Nixon signed the Health Maintenance Organization bill as a favor to his friends over at Kaiser. And of course, the Veterans Affairs has never been very good about taking good care of our wounded veterans. It's a scandal. And every once in a while, the corporate media will make a big deal about how the paperwork is still not computerized and veterans are having to wait months for treatment. And it really is a huge mess. And yeah, I remember a time when you were sick or wounded, you went right to the doctor, you were taken care of, that was it. I remember one time when my father was ill, the doctor made a house call. And it worked very smoothly. Yeah. Today, it's just so messed up and mired with paperwork and regulation. When Claire suffered her back injury, it's about 13 months ago, no, 14 months ago, no, 15 months ago, it's been 15 months, when she suffered a fracture in her back, it was 3 months before we could get anybody to take a look at her and see what the heck was going on. So for 3 months, it was just, you know, keeping her still, keeping her comfortable, using as much OTC pain medication as we could. She really suffered because of the deficiencies of our medical system. And, you know, we're in a medical group. We have Medicare. We have a supplemental. We have all the bases covered. And it was still 3 months before she could get seen for a critical back injury. And I'm very unhappy about that. As a matter of fact, Claire, unfortunately, is having to go back to the doctors today. I think the long delay in being seen by a doctor has resulted in chronic damage that would have been avoided had she been seen in a more timely manner.
Now, one other part of that, my mother, back in the 90s, the medical, there was an insurance company in Florida that, and like there was one for the in New York for a short period of time, that had doctors on salary. I don't know if you heard about that. I think it was Aetna in Florida that had the program.
I think so, yes.
The AMA got that shut down, but it was, they were saving so much money by having their doctors on salary that my mother didn't have to pay the copay. And the AMA shut that down. It's a crime against humanity. You know, that, Hillary actually was, when Bill was the president, she was working to confront the AMA. And in a way, Obama was working to confront it, not straightforward, but undermine it to get everybody insurance, and then they go after the doctors because they're charging so much. Thank you very much.
They are, but part of that is because of the high cost of malpractice insurance, and it is a mess. There's no question about it. Anyway, listen, Donald, spasiba for the phone call.
Money and the pharmacist.
Okay, well, Donald, I got to let you go. The phone lines are really filling up, and thank you very much for the phone call. I think this is the first time I've ever gotten a phone call from Russia. And I'm just so glad you weren't KGB or something like that. Before we go back to the phones here, a little bit of a comment. I did get an email of complaint because I was talking about the opioid crisis in this country and talking about the pharmaceutical corporations who are incentivizing doctors, the doctors who write the prescriptions. And I, at some point, apparently made a loose comment about there being very little difference between the pharmacist at the drugstore and the guy on the street corner. And I got an email from a pharmacist who works at a drugstore who was very insulted and said, look, we just fill the prescriptions. We are only following our orders. The problem is the pharmaceutical corporations who are pushing these products, who are incentivizing the doctors to write prescriptions for things that patients may not really need. More about that later in the show. And so to all the pharmacists out there, I apologize. You are just part of the pipeline. But there is a problem. Okay, back to the phones here. Michael in Canada, aloha. Michael, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello there, Mike. Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
You sounded pretty bad last Thursday there. I was getting ready to call the Knackerman on you.
No, I'm anyway, definitely getting better.
That's good. Yeah, I got a couple things here. In your show yesterday, got to mention this so everybody, all your listeners, understand this. I'm in Canada. You said that in Quebec, all the signs are in French and English because it's bilingualism. Well, Canada is a bilingual country, but the provinces are some of them aren't. Now in Quebec, all the signs are in French. You go on the subway, there's no English anyplace. Street signs, everything, there's no English. The only province that is bilingual is the shitty little province I live in, up New Brunswick, where you have to be bilingual. The officially bilingual province, you got to be bilingual to hold a government job. And the result of that, we got a bunch of people from Quebec living in this province, you know, because they're bilingual. And in Quebec, there's no bilingualism. It's all French. The Canadian government, you know, the federal government, it's officially bilingual. But the province is the... Like I said, Quebec is not bilingual. They're French only. New Brunswick is bilingual, and all the other provinces of Canada are not bilingual.
Okay, so you're telling me that I erred in saying that there was a province in Canada where the signs had to be both in French and English.
Well, you said Quebec.
Okay, well, I understand I may have erred in saying Quebec.
Yes.
Are there any provinces in Canada where the signs are mandated to be both in French and English?
Yes, New Brunswick.
That's the only one?
Yes, the other provinces are not. If you go to Alberta, it's all English. British Columbia, it's all English.
Gosh darn that. Michael Moore lied to us in Canadian bacon.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Anyway, there's something else, a little humorous thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
Off topic here a bit, but... last week you're talking about, still talking about the Mueller report.
Yes.
So on my way home from work, I always stop in this little grocery store, and they always got CNN on, you know. And I remind you, I'm in Canada, right?
Yeah.
And the CNN's always on, and I'm in the queue there to line up to pay for my stuff, and the people are talking. Boy, we're going to get Trump. Oh, we're going to get Trump. We got him now. And it's just. And I get up to the girl and I say, you know, this is all smoke and mirrors. You know, there's no collusion with Russia and all that. Anyway, you go in there now and the TV's shut off. The TV's not even on. Yeah, and the lady won't even look me in the eye.
Yeah, our local bank branch is the same way. You know, when this whole thing was going on, they had CNN all the time. Now it's the Baking Channel, which to me that's more useful.
Well, yeah, it just goes to show you that. These people realize they were lied to all this time. We're going to get Trump. Oh, yeah, we got him now. And we're in Canada, and these are Canadians saying, using the word we. Yeah, we got him now. We're going to get him now. Yeah, yeah. So anyway.
Amazing.
Well, have a good show there, Mike. Nice talking to you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the phone call. And we're going to let you go and switch over to Tom in Florida. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good day to you, Michael. Yeah, Mike, I want to clarify something yesterday that happened. After I called you, you had a Hispanic lady called in and saying that Cubans are Europeans. Well, you know what? She's absolutely right. They're Spanish. They came out of the country of Spain, which is part of European culture. But I want to clarify something with her and then your listeners. Okay? The Cubans are very, very hard workers, especially when they came here with the Peter Pan flights. Okay? They were working 18 to 20 hours a day. I know all about the Cubans. Okay? I can tell you everything about them. And I've been there many a times. They worked their butts off, and they didn't have food stamps, Section 8 housing, and welfare. And they learned to speak English, and they are very anti-communist. So I'm sure that lady understands that. The people who live, the Cubans who live in South Florida are very patriotic. They love their country, which is their new country, the United States of America. So I clarify that. I know about Franco, and I know about the during World War II, the Franco was fighting the communists and all that. I can go into all the detail, but I won't do that. But we'll go into this detail, Michael. These Hispanics are coming over here now, are getting Section 8 housing, they're getting food stamps, and they're putting 35 to 40 kids in a classroom. They don't speak no English. The American taxpayers paying for this. The Cubans who came here through the Peter Pan flights and all that, okay, they learned to speak English because that was the only way to survive, to get a job in Miami-Dade County at the time. In Miami-Dade County at the time, you've got powdered milk, you got a peanut butter and jelly, and you got maybe a loaf of bread from Wholesome Bakery every week. And if you sometimes you get it stale, because I knew a lot of Cubans that didn't have a chicken to put in their pan until they actually got a job, and they were working 18, 20 hours. I can tell you all kinds of stories about it. But that lady who's saying that, I know more about Hispanics probably than she does, and I know more about Spain and Isabella and the Inquisition and everything. I go back into history if you want to go into that detail, but I won't do that. I will tell you what's going on now in this country. In this country, we are being invaded illegally. These people are breaking the law. The Democratic Party is allowing this. They should be held for treason, aiding and abetting the sedition. And, Michael, what you said yesterday blew my mind. It was the wonderfulest thing I heard actually you say in a really long time. I mean, I love everything you say, but when you told me about how rich Mexico is, what their minerals and their beachfront properties and everything that Mexico really has, their oil, and it's like Venezuela. None of these Hispanic countries, they're not Latins. By the way, Michael, none of these people down there are Latins. The Latins are out of Rome. The Italian people are the Romans. They're not. They have nothing to do with Latin. When they say I'm a Latin, no. Unless you're born in Italy, you're not. Maybe you're from Scotland and Ireland. They have Latin in them. But the people coming out of Spain are Hispanic. Okay?
Yes.
There's no question. That's all been a big farce. But going back to that lady, I hope she understands. I know more about how the Cubans had to fight and get their and all the property they own and the prosperity they've gained in this country because they love this country. That's fine. But Michael, when you got all these people are coming in here now, what are you going to do with these people? There's no jobs. What are they going to? What's their skill level? There's too many. There's not enough agricultural jobs to put them in. There's too many people cutting grass right now. Matter of fact, pretty soon they have robots doing cutting grass. Pretty soon, that's coming to be lawnmowers. So I mean, what's going on here? And then, you know, I'm feeling like I was just trying to tell that lady, we can't keep absorbing all this influx because
we
have a problem in our own American society, okay? Now, Mexico is a big place, and they can Venezuela, another big place. They have minerals. They have oil. Cuba, believe it or not, has oil too, Michael. It's not as clean like Venezuela. But they have resources in Cuba, believe it. They're in sugar and all that, and you know. But what I understand is our governments, Trump and all these presidents, they allowed this invasion. For what reason? To fill up the classrooms of 45 kids per class? No, it's crazy. And then, you know, and then that one car you had in there calling about Russia collusion, I always kept saying, it wasn't a Russia collusion, it was the Israeli collusion. Look at Hollywood. Who's running Hollywood? Who's controlling Hollywood? The filthy movies, most of the filthy movies they put out, and all the other nonsense that's taking. You got Schiff. You got Chucky Schumer doesn't want Israel to have 10 million Muslims going to Israel. Would he like 10 million Muslims to sneak into Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, or take over the Golan Heights? Put 10 million Muslims on the Golan Heights or the Sinai? Come on. Who's kidding who here? But now in this country, you got that Jerry Nadler, and you got all these schmucks that want to invade our country being invaded. Pelosi, that moron, and that Maxine Knucklehead Waters, and they don't see that. Well, you know what? I say, why don't we take 10,000 illegals and stick them on Nancy Pelosi's property? She's got millions of dollars in the bank. Why doesn't she pay for them? She can afford to put them in the lawn, let them do her lawn or her laundry and all that. Let her pay. I'm going to spend $10 million out of her money over the next year to help these illegals. And they keep talking about Trump's taxes. How much money do they want the guy to pay? I heard one year he paid almost $40 million in taxes. He gave $100,000. I mean, he gives his whole check up to the government for the border and all that. He don't even take a salary for to pay for. I heard on the Air Force One, I heard he's paying for half the fuel for these airliners that he flies around in. I mean, what do these people want out of Trump? He's trying to tell the American public he's the president of the United States. He's the commander-in-chief, Michael, of the strongest military in the world. And he's telling the world right now, in our country mainly, that we're being invaded.
Michael, yeah, we are. Invaded. Okay, Tom, I got to let you go. Tom, I got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials.
Okay, Michael,
back with another phone call.
My call, thank you.
After these few words.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to Al in Canada. Aloha, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I forgot why I called in, listening to your last two callers.
Well, you told our call screener, you told our producer, rather, that you wanted to talk about the medical industry.
Ah, yes. That's right. I'm glad. You know what, Mike? I'm so glad. You sound so much better. I never called in last week, but I couldn't, right? I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad I'm better too. Now we just got to work on getting Claire better.
Well, yes. So my brother, when he was about 31, he decided he was going to lift a transmission, and he actually cracked one of the vertebrae in his back.
Yep.
In between the vertebrae are the discs, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, to make a long story short, that was almost 30 years ago, and he can't be fixed.
Yeah.
And even surgery, what they want to do is they want to, like, start pinning stuff together, right? Like vertebrae
yep.
and whatnot. And your chances of walking out of that operation are 50-50. So, you know, in my estimation, Claire is actually lucky that she's feeling better and that it didn't happen to her when she was younger.
Well,
Steve, I know it's a hard pill to swallow. I'm sorry.
Well, the age is part of the issue here. And unfortunately,
yeah.
she was better. Unfortunately, lately, she's dealing with a great deal of unsteadiness, and she's had a couple of falls, and she's just dealing with a lot of pain. And so she's basically going to the doctor this afternoon to see what's going on. She's had a new MRI. We've already talked it over and said, no, surgery is not an option. We want to find out what possibilities there are that don't involve surgery. And I've been
yeah.
through this already once before because in an amazing coincidence, my first wife suffered a major back injury. So I'm two for two here. And so I've been through the clinics and the doctors twice now. And, you know, I don't want to be accused of practicing medicine without a license, but I am trying to keep a tight eye on what's going on here. But we may be at the point right now where it's going to be pain mitigation. The big issue, though, right now is her unsteadiness because we can't afford to have her take any more falls.
One of the problems with hurting oneself is that area that's hurt, and this can happen in young folk too, and you know it, is you have something called muscle atrophy.
Yes.
And making that up afterwards can sometimes not happen.
You know, that's a very
then
good
you suffer
comment.
Another injury.
That's a very, very good comment, and that's something for us to think about. And
yeah.
I mean, when she first got into the system, she did have a course of physical therapy that she seemed to help, and
yep.
maybe it's time to send her back to that, or maybe I need to nag her about whether she's still doing the exercises.
You know, Mike, it's one thing about humans. We're all
anyway,
guilty.
Listen, Al, I got to put you on hold. Al, got to
okay,
take a break
you.
For station identification. We'll be right back after these few words. Stay tuned.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.